kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
I have a title today for our teaching, and in some ways it is a continuation from last week's teaching. Remember, we spoke on the discipline of preparation. Well, today we're calling our teaching, "Our Preparation is by Direct Revelation." Our preparation is by direct revelation. Did you know that the Christian faith, Judeo-Christian faith, is by direct revelation, unlike any other religions, cults, whatever? God speaks to his people directly from the throne of God, and he has provided that revelation through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. There is no other religion that can appeal to that. And of course, we know that we get an understanding of how God preserved and kept Israel in the wilderness by supernaturally providing and feeding them with that manna. There is a type. And God does the same today. He spiritually feeds us in the wilderness, which is this world, by direct revelation through the Word of God. And no other religion or cult can appeal to that. It might counterfeit it. We know that the powers of darkness, the enemy, always counterfeits what God does. But it will never bear the fruit that the Christian faith produces and will produce, particularly for the last day. And that's why I'm calling this teaching, "Our Preparation is by Direct Revelation." You need direct revelation to know your walk, to know how God is leading you, to know what he's revealing in these last days. It requires direct revelation. And this is why we are being restored and brought back through the apostolic anointing, through the gifts that he has set in the church, to bring us back under his headship for this direct revelation, this supernatural manner that we are to be kept, we are to be sustained by. And some see this and some don't. Remember, I spoke last week about the discipline of preparation, how that God has revealed it's like a type of Gideon's army, where he reduced it right down from 22,000 to 300 who would go forth and fight against the Midianites. And the selection was by the water edge, how they partook of the water, which is a spiritual type today. How are we partaking of the anointed word? Is the anointed word feeding us? Is it preparing us? Is it making us watchful? Is it making us useful for God in these last days? They are the fundamental questions. I've revealed and I show it over and over again that too many of our brothers and sisters simply want to be entertained in churches, but have no real vision, revelation of what it's facing very shortly. We are seeing the powers of darkness coming over the land. And this reminds me of the book of Joel, which we're going to look at again to remind ourselves in this. You see, much of restoration and end time ministry is to be direct revelation to us. And I want to show this to you from the book of Joel. Turn with me, if you will, to the minor prophet, the book of Joel, chapter 2, verses 28 to 32. I know we cite this much, but I want to really emphasize this today so that this becomes your experience, not just simply another teaching or theological teaching, but that all of this is translated in reality to you. This is what is so important. Now, as we open up in the book of Joel, let's remind ourselves, Joel simply means in the Hebrew, Yahweh is God. And he's writing this because the kingdom of Judah has been warned and warned and takes no notice, and there is a dark cloud that is coming on the horizon, and he can see it, and it's coming upon the land. And what is this dark cloud? It's a cloud of locusts. And he's revealing that in a matter of hours, everything green, vegetation, everything that the human eye will see will be completely stripped bare. And of course, like all the prophets of God, Joel was not very popular in what he was pronouncing. But like a true prophet of God, it actually happened. But there's a duality with this prophecy, like often there is in prophecy, because the prophecy of Joel also speaks of the former rain and the latter rain. And again, which he's describing, this plague will be a type again in the last days. There will be the dark clouds coming upon the earth, which is a warning of God's judgment. And brothers and sisters, I believe these clouds are started to be seen. We are hearing it in the news. We are seeing famines. We are seeing terrible fires. We are seeing terrible floods. We are seeing a plague. COVID, they call it. We are seeing these signs, brothers and sisters. And are we going to allow the word of God to prepare us or not? Or are we going to be like most of Gideon's army who ran back in fear? You see, many are called, few are chosen for what God's has for the task. And many, many times our brothers and sisters, they hear this, but they run back in fear and unbelief. But the 300 who were chosen by God, because Gideon was showing, God was showing Gideon, I should say, the right men for the task. And it was at the water's edge. And it was how they were taking of the water. The water is the word of God. The word of God is, it cleans us. It sustains us. It quenches our thirst. It keeps us alive. There's the spiritual analogy. And so we go over to this book, the book of Joel, and he's now speaking of the former rain, which was the outpouring of the Spirit at Pentecost, the book of Acts, or the Acts of the Holy Spirit. But it doesn't stop there. It says that there will be a latter rain, a greater rain as well. And so let's take this up now in Joel chapter 2, verse 28 onwards. Joel 2, verse 28 onwards. And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. This is the last days. This was through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit some 30, 40 years ago, when the Holy Spirit was baptizing, empowering believers. But not all went on with that experience. And that was the tragedy. Not all understood the baptism of the Spirit, the empowerment of the Spirit, in order to become Christ-like. Many didn't want to pay the cost for that. But God, whatever he does, he will continue to perfect and work what he has started. And the outpouring of the Spirit, the time of Pentecost, over 30, 40, even 50 years ago, God has called out a remnant out of all of that, who will go on into perfection, who will go on into faith, trusting, believing God, who will see the bigger picture for the last days. Your sons, your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit to those in those days. And I will show wonder. That's already happening up to verse 29. You are experiencing what it says there. Preparing for the last days, the latter rain, upon men and women in the house of God. And it goes on. And this leads towards the tribulation and the great tribulation. And I will show wonders in heaven and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood, before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's the mercy of God. So the end time harvest, that the angels that go to the four corners of the earth to reap in, there will be the mercy of God, because the judgment upon the earth will be so horrendous, so great, that the earth has never experienced judgment like it. The flood was bad enough, but this is nothing in comparison to what is coming. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, here is God's mercy over his ancient chosen people, Israel, whom he will restore. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, there shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the remnant whom the Lord calls. It is always a remnant, brothers and sisters. We get the idea of remnant theology through what Jesus said, narrow is the way, few there be that find it. Broad is the way, and many who go that way. The narrow way is through trial and tribulation and testing and purging. For what? So that we are being prepared by direct revelation for these last days. Let's turn also to John 16, the Gospel of John 16, and look at verse 13. John 16 and verse 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. And it's all for the purpose in verse 14, so that it glorifies his Son, Jesus Christ, and so on. Let's look at John 14 and verse 26. John 14 and verse 26. which tells, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance the things that I said to you. So are we beginning to understand how important the Holy Spirit's ministry is, particularly to us now in these last closing days? Now, what does it say in all of this? Well, going back to verse 13 of John 16. John 16 and verse 13. Listen to what he says. However, when the Spirit of truth has come, and he has come, he is in the world, he has come to you, he has come to me, he will guide you into all truth. Not partial truth, but all truth. Now that takes the power of God to lead us and guide us into all truth. And how we know the enemy is trying to deceive us in so many ways. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak to you. So there is a further revelation and teaching that Jesus says, I will hear and I will give to you. He's now seated at the right hand of the Father. He is the intercessor. He intercedes and supplicates on behalf. He sits there because there is more his Father is going to reveal to the last days. And he says, I will hear this and I will impart this to you. I will share this with you. I will reveal what my Father is about to do in the last days. This is what he's saying. He will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. So Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, has revealed down through the ages, there is more to come. There is more to come, brothers and sisters, in these last days as we are seeing judgment coming. But in order for us to hear by direct revelation, God has to restore us back to the body of Christ, to the foundation, which is the rock, Jesus Christ. He has to restore us back to those gifts that he gave to the church. He has to restore us back to the fivefold ministry that is restored to the church. Do you think that God is going to do all of this outside the body of Christ? Not at all. He does this through his body, which we are baptized into by the power of the Spirit. He does not bypass these things, which so much of Christendom preaches and thinks that it does. They think that their denomination, God is going to restore the world through that. It is not going to. It's man-made. It's corrupt. This is why God has brought you out, delivered you from Babylon, from spiritual Egypt. He's delivered you from the bondage of man. He's delivering us right this moment from being controlled. We are seeing this world system coming under control now. It is witchcraft. Governments are under control of this witchcraft. Many of our governments are simply puppets being used by the powers of darkness. And of course, we are seeing a lot now moving through this pandemic. So, what are we hearing? Are we receiving revelation from God? Are we hearing, FGA, what the Spirit is saying to the church? That is the question I raise with you today. What are you hearing? Are you still looking at the world and listening to it, or are we listening to our God who has saved us through Jesus Christ, who's provided for our redemption, who has given us the blessed comforter that we can hear what he's saying, and through that hearing it will cause us to be able to move and act and walk by faith? Do you know that much of your walking by faith comes by the revelation of God's word? That is what should spur us on to walk by faith. That is the purpose of the word of God. Now, going back to John 16, verse 13, it clearly reveals that the Lord will continue to give revelation to guide us in truth and to show what is coming. The Holy Spirit, in other words, is jogging our memories. We know this, we've just read it to you. John 14, verse 26, really what Jesus was saying there, I will jog your memories. Because we forget at times, we're forgetful, but the Holy Spirit will come and continue to jog our memories. In many ways, the Spirit is jogging our memories today. He's reminding us of what we have been taught. Many of us have been taught the deeper life spirit, deeper life in the Spirit for over 30 years. He continues to jog our memories, to keep us with it, because God is going to do it. He guides us into truth. Now, it's interesting, in John 16 and verse 13, there are two things that he speaks there. He says, he, the Spirit of truth, has come. He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak. So there's the word speak. And there is also a showing. The Spirit of truth has come. He will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and he will show you things to come. So in other words, he's speaking and he's guiding. That is his ministry. He guides us into all truth. He will speak to us. Now, how is this achieved? How is this done, brothers and sisters? Well, it's quite simple. He may speak to us through the gifts that he set in the church. Those nine gifts which you are to seek and to covet. You are admonished to seek those gifts for the sake of the body of Christ. It may be the word of wisdom, or the word of knowledge, or he asks you to seek him to prophesy, or tongues and interpretation. These are gifts where God speaks to us. It's part of direct revelation. Or the inspiration and illumination of the mind, which we need. And then, of course, he sets the office ministries of apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor and teacher, in which to, through, again, speaking to us, revealing to us, imparting direct revelation from our Father in these last days. God's manner of showing is by dreams and visions. I already read it to you how he's doing this back in the prophecy of Joel. There will be dreams, there will be visions, your old men will have dreams. He's speaking to the church through that way. These are all clearly there. Let's just briefly turn to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28. Corinthians 12, and let's look at verse 38. Sorry, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28 to 21. 12, 28 to 21. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all these apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all working of miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. And then, of course, he goes, how all of this must be tempered and worked by God's love. That is what he has said in the body of Christ. This is so that we have in the last days direct revelation from God. And you are also responsible for this, brothers and sisters, if you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind and being. If you are a disciple, if you are walking the way of the cross and you placed your hand upon that plough, you are part and instrumental of direct revelation for the church in these last days, which is perfecting us, getting us ready for what? The rapture. This is why I keep stressing the body that you have been brought to and under is where we all minister and function with our gift or gifts. It's vital. You cannot sit on the fence with this. You see, these ministries and office ministries are to continue. They have not ceased. These gifts are not finished, like most of contemporary church tells you today. Oh, that was for the first century, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. There's not a trace and evidence in the Bible for that. It is still continuing to go on. But sadly, the church fell in unbelief, and by the end of the first century, she lost the experience of the power of the baptism of the Spirit and fell for nearly 2,000 years into the Dark Ages. Read church history. If it wasn't for a remnant through those Dark Ages, the Christian church would not exist. The enemy was out to destroy it. He was out to destroy Christ's body. It's the biggest threat to his kingdom. And what has God done again? There was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the start of the latter rain, which we've spoke to in Joel. And what did he do? He brought the seed into the woman. What was existing and revived, rebirthed again, and brought the gifts of the Spirit back into the church. For what purpose? So that the church could come back into direct revelation, to hear what the Spirit is saying in these last days. And many of our brothers and sisters do not have a clue what the Spirit is saying in these last days. They're all out doing their own thing, playing their own religious games. No authority. This is why we're being restored back under apostolic authority, anointing. Because that is where the spiritual clout is to the church. We are under the times of restoration now, brothers and sisters, as God is restoring Israel, he's restoring the church. The two walk together, but Israel is in blindness at the moment. And so God is using the church in which to open Israel's eyes. That's what he's doing. And at the moment, she is offended by that, because she still believes she cannot do any wrong. She's called, chosen from the foundation of the world. And that was her mistake. That was her pride. And sadly, there are a lot of Christians who have that mindset as well. We'll all know if we're saved, called from the foundation of the world, because we'll stay with it. We'll endure to the end. That'll be the sign. Yes, we walk by faith, and thank God we do. But if we obey what God shows us, then they are the clear signs. We are called from the foundation of the world. We are part of that remnant that Joel speaks of in the last days. But God is not going to bypass any of this. He has set a divine order in the church. We cannot bypass this divine order that God has set. And some tried to do it. We are an army being prepared. And we are under these generals who are training us. The same type with Gideon's army. The problem is that we fit our theology to our circumstances. And we do it because of unbelief. So many Christians fit the word of God to their unbelief, to their circumstances, and they make excuses. And God isn't going to have it of us. We either allow the Spirit to work the standard of God's word and promises in our life or not. It's simple as that. We either want that or we don't. And we allow the Lord to do this. And what would he begin to do? Well, I can tell you the first thing he begins to do, he gets this worldliness out of us. He's not going to have the world infecting us. And we always want to compromise. We always want to have one foot in the camp and one foot on the water. That is human nature. But God knows us too well. He isn't going to do that with us. No, he gets the world out of us. The same as he called Israel as a nation, he took her into the wilderness to do what? To get the world out of her heart. And he worked with her for 40 years. It shouldn't have taken that long, but she would have none of it. Does history change? Does human nature change? Not at all. God is doing exactly the same with us. You see, if the Holy Spirit isn't guiding and leading, it will remain in error and compromise with a lack of direct revelation. In other words, it's a free-for-all. And that sadly is what we have today in the churches around the world. It is a free-for-all. We do what is right, what we think. Exactly the same in the times of the judges. But God will not have that. God has set that divine order and he does not bypass it. You see, most churches have closed the door, so God can't speak anymore. We know that. Read the book of Revelation, the seven churches in Asia Minor. Basically, what's happened with those six churches, not the Laodicean, but the others, they basically closed the door to direct revelation. And he admonishes them, hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. They reject the prophets, they reject the teachers, because they still want to do it their way. And it won't work. God has set a divine order in the church. He doesn't bypass that. And we have to allow the Spirit to build the body of Christ through us. We are the body of Christ. It is living. It is a living organism functioning. We've still got this mindset. It's a building on the end of a street or whatever. No, they're not. They're just religious museum pieces. The true body of Christ is you and I. And are we going to allow the Spirit to empty us so that he builds his body through us? That we are in this last day the light of the world, that we're still a beacon that is shining out against the darkness that's coming on the world. That is the question. Most churches have closed the door to God speaking direct to them. They don't want to hear it. This is why Christ is outside the door knocking to go in. Many visions, many ministries have warned and spoken of that. In my earlier days as a Christian, many, many times there were people having visions, dreams, Christ knocking at the door, his door, which is supposed to be his body, to enter in. But they wouldn't have it. Israel made exactly the same mistake. They couldn't accept their Messiah. He was an embarrassment to them. Born in a stable, a carpenter, rising to Israel on an ass. That was an embarrassment. They wanted a leader. They wanted another Saul. They wanted a film star. Somebody who's got credentials, wealthy, a star. Has it all changed? Not at all. That's why the Antichrist is going to come and deceive. God calls the lowly. He calls the rejected. He calls the despised. He calls what the world rejects and he brings them into the house of God. Did you know you follow Christ because the world rejects you? It doesn't want you. But the wonderful gospel is that Jesus, he loves us and his arms were open to us. He said, doesn't matter, let them reject you, I receive you. That's what broke my heart. That's what got my attention when I saw God's love in that way. The world out there is dangerous. It rejects what is lovely, right, pure, holy. It doesn't want that. It lives a lie. But praise God, you and I have been delivered from that. He's opened our eyes to see. And thank God we didn't close the door of our heart to him, but opened it and received him as our Lord and Saviour. This is why the church has become so sensual, so carnal, just like the world, because it's lost that direct revelation. And it ceased, as I said, after the first century in the church. He began to leave and go. And then denominationalism started to come in, the rise of Catholicism and so on. The harlot. And that's why now the church in general today depends on the world. It looks to the world for its teaching, its theology, It looks to the world for its secular education. It looks to the world for science, medical science. It looks to the world for philosophy and education. That's what the church is today. This is why we're being restored. This is why we're brought out of all of this. So that God again provides, looks after us, teaches us, guides us, leads us, heals us. That's how we're to walk. You know, the church has become just like Saul, King Saul. Remember Saul, when he couldn't any longer fight against the enemies? God wasn't with him anymore. What did he do? He turned to a medium for revelation. He knew God wasn't speaking to him anymore. And that's exactly what's happened to so much of the church. It turns to the world. It turns, and that's why the devil is in it, and he speaks like he does. They're deceived. Sadly, you know, many are going that way, but thank God we heard. Because we read the Word of God. And as you read the Word of God, so much of it is contrary to these denominations, these organizations. You can't build on what man is preaching and teaching. It's sand and it won't last. The restoration of this is to bring us back upon the rock of Jesus Christ that will stand the storms and the temptations and the trials and so forth. This is why I said at the beginning when I opened, Judeo-Christianity is direct revelation. Israel was given direct revelation from God. No other nation had revelation as she did, but she forfeited it. And she's paying the price for it. And that's why now, praise God, the Holy Spirit is now outpouring and he's bringing us back under his banner, his headship. He's now speaking to us direct again. But let me give a warning. The Spirit that's now being outpoured, even today, this moment, I will tell you what he is not doing. He is not putting new wine into old wineskins. And many have taken this and tried to revive their old systems, their old denominations. And it hasn't worked and it won't work. Why? Because what God is doing with you and me, it is new wine and it is new wineskins. That's why. And that is why much purging is required, deliverance in our lives for this restoration. And as I bring this to a conclusion, we see that God hasn't left Israel out of this. For example, we know what the Apostle Paul said in Romans 11 and verse 25 to 29. Romans 11, verse 25 to 29. For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. So, the last Gentile to be saved, then God will turn again to Israel. But until then, God is working with the Gentiles, and that is his body, the body of Christ, which also will have some Jews who are converted, who have received their Messiah. It's a whole mixture, a whole race. And that is what we should concentrate on at the moment. And so all Israel will be saved, as it is written, the deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob, for this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. So he's going to come, he's going to take away the ungodliness of Jacob, because at the moment Israel is like any other nation in the world. In fact, at times what she does can be even worse, sadly. He says, concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake, because they rejected their Messiah. They rejected the Word made flesh. But concerning the election, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. So there we are, from election, from calling. Yes, they are as a nation, but for the sake of the gospel at the moment, they reject it. And that's the state she's in. What does it say in Isaiah? Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43 and verse 2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flames scorch you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour. And he goes on and so forth. So this is how he's going to save in the last days. And of course, we too can glean the principles of that. We see that working also in our life. The problem we have today, because so many Christians do not really understand Christ's body, we've got today a type of spiritual Israel that has today in many ways replaced the church, because they say she's God's chosen people. But the problem is, this is why it has replaced the church, and that is the sin. We are to recognize Israel. We are to pray for her. We are to pray for her government. But it is not on the basis of replacing it by the church, the body of Christ. And this is a lot of the problems in Christendom today. Many who've gone overboard with Israel. And why do they do it? Because they do not understand the body of Christ. A lot of these people are in denominations, frustrated with their churches. And so they turn to these other things. And that's what happens. When you are not secure in the body of Christ, when you've not got the revelation of Christ's body, when you are not hearing direct revelation, you will turn to other things. We've done it ourselves. And we try to make it Christian. It's outside the divine order that God has set in the body. I've already labored that with you. The gifts, the functions of these gifts, the fivefold ministry. God doesn't go opposite to that. He doesn't go outside of it. He works through you and I. Our discerning the Spirit is essential by the body. 1 John 4:1. We test the Spirit. We discern what voice is speaking through the body of Christ. We test it with the Word of God. We test a minister by the Word of God. What is operating through that person? Much of Christendom has lost that insight, that sensitivity, that understanding. That's why they're deceived and carried off on other things that get in the way. We haven't time for that, brothers and sisters. The Spirit's really moving now. He means business. He's working with us and other believers around the world who want to go on with this, who want direct revelation from God, who want to hear what our Father is saying. What a blessing when you hear and you know what your Father is saying. That is what encourages our faith. That is what keeps that vision before us. That is what keeps us moving forward, being kingdom-minded, discerning what is coming on the earth, being able to speak out and share and warn and so forth. Don't limit the Holy Spirit, what he can and he will do through you and I. Just yield over to him and let him build. Let him build his body through you. Let him glorify his name through you. That is what I believe he's preparing, he's doing. That is the spiritual Gideon's army. It's going to be just a few who are trained in spiritual warfare. They know their weapons. They know who they are up against. All of that I spoke on Tuesday's message. It's all there. If you want to hear it, you can hear it on the website. Well, there we are, brothers and sisters. Our preparation is by direct revelation. Father, we thank you. Lord, you are speaking to us. Forgive us that we can be distracted so easily. We can be looking to other things. And we know, Lord, the enemy goes round like a roaring lion. He's there trying to frighten us, deceive us, to get us just to compromise or run away. But Lord, we have settled this walk. We have settled discipleship. We have put our hands to the plough. We are moving forward. We take our cross up daily and follow you. And we believe in your mercy and grace. You do the rest. Father, thank you for this. Thank you that you are the master builder, because you are going to glorify your name. And you are going to do it through us as we yield to the Spirit and not resist, not fight, but just simply yield over, because you have said it's not by might, it's not by power, it is by my Spirit, says the Lord.
Jesus.